Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Monday. We are packed. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Joy Taylor is joining me as always after another wild weekend. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. That was a wild weekend.
It was crazy. It was fun. This is such a fun time of the year. She's got great stories coming up in Herdline News today. There's so much news to get into the show. We'll try to address all of it today. Let me start with this. I've said before, I'm not in the credit business. MasterCard, Visa, and American Express are in the credit business. I'm in the honesty business. There are times when the loser is more interesting than the winner. Greg Norman once lost a Masters. He was more interesting than the winner that year. This year, the losing horse at the Kentucky Derby was more interesting than the winning horse at the Kentucky Derby. So Toronto, just hold on a second. I want to start my show with the Sixers. They're just a super talented, dysfunctional, lovable, hot mess. Egos, injuries, flaws, egos, did I mention egos, personalities, social media don't fit together. The Philadelphia 76ers, and we predicted this, this thing doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I got to be honest, they're fascinating. Second best roster, at least starting five, I believe, in the NBA talent-wise. So Philadelphia, now you can go two ways, Philadelphia. I told you last week, I'm trying to save your franchise. You can either, number one, keep the band together, fire the head coach. That's the answer, right? You'd win it all if it wasn't for the head coach. So let's just fire the coach. That's always, in the NBA, that's always the solution. Just get rid of the coach. He's a bum. We'd be great without him, so you can fire the coach. And by the way, you could stay the course, and you can talk yourself into, well, Kyrie Irving's leaving Boston, so they'll be worse. And Kawhi Leonard may leave Toronto, so they'll be worse, and we'll just stay the course. And that's not going to work either. Because Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons don't work. Good luck with Joel Embiid's body. Jimmy Butler doesn't get along long-term with anybody. Or you can do the second thing, which is make really tough choices. And that's generally, I tell my kids this all the time, that's generally the right answer in life. Make tough choices. Make sure you make the right ones. Oklahoma City did not. Chose Westbrook over Harden and KD. Make tough choices. Embiid's body's not going to last. Embiid and Simmons don't get along. Let somebody else overpay for Tobias Harris. Make tough choices. But you better make the right ones. Because here's the facts. You could not win a second round playoff series in the East, and the East is weaker than the West, and you couldn't win it. And by the way, tip of the cap to Toronto. But Kawhi Leonard is amazing, and it was hot potato for the other four guys because nobody else seemed to want to take a shot. It's just get the ball to Kawhi. I don't want it. You take it. And you couldn't beat that team. And you couldn't beat that team that historically tends to Toronto shrink a little in the playoffs. That's fair, right? So it's choices time. Philly's last three possessions summed up their season. Man, there's a lot of talent. Man, those were bad possessions. Oh, those were bad possessions. And, you know, my theory on this, you keep Jimmy Butler, you keep Ben Simmons, you trade Embiid, don't trust the body, get shooters, don't overpay for Tobias Harris, you keep J.J. Redick. You've shown an ability to find shooters, not through the draft, but you know, trades, free agency. You did that a couple years ago, and that's what I would do. So I'm going to lay it on the line. I know most of you would keep Embiid because he's rewarding you now, and he is a great player. But I would say this, Philadelphia, if you want to know how to do it and make sure you win going forward, look across the street to the Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't do the popular thing. They let go of Nick Foles. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, the MVP, Nick Foles. And you know what the Eagles said? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Carson Wentz still isn't healthy. They went with a guy that's still hurt. And the guy that some teammates don't like, but he's more talented. They went with Carson Wentz, the young guy who not everybody likes, sort of like Ben Simmons, right? Sort of like Ben Simmons. They didn't go with a popular choice, which was to keep likable Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl. They made tough choices. And the reason the Philadelphia Eagles, once again this year, will be one of the four or five teams at the end of the year we think can win the Super Bowl, maybe they do, maybe they don't, is because they made tough choices, not popular choices, and they made the right choices. Oh, by the way, Toronto, I'm not dissing you. Congratulations. And one more time, let's show it to the nation. The only Game 7 buzzer beater ever. Here you go.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Congrats. Tip of the cap. Fred Van Vliet, next hour on the show. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, 40 minutes from now. Let me shift gears to this. There wasn't any games on Saturday. I almost wanted to watch the Rockets and the Warriors again. Sports has a lot of machismo. Be the man. Take the shot. Remember we used to criticize LeBron? You didn't take the shot. Well, I was double-teamed. There was an open guy. You got to take the shot. It's the way a man does it. Sports a lot about that. Not just the NBA. Sports is a lot about that. God, be the man. Look like the man. Act like the man. Talk like the man. Be the man. Steph Curry does not fit a lot of those machismo stereotypes. He's slight. He doesn't really care about awards. He wears nerdy shoes. He recruited another star. He's slight. He doesn't look like Dr. J. He's not as strong as Michael. Not as big and tough as Pippen and Akeem and Shaq, and doesn't have the killer instinct, right? And so he is the least respected star because he doesn't look like what we think a star should be, which is giving and not into awards and family guy, not alpha, and sometimes recruits other star players and can take a step back. And that just doesn't, how do we wrap our brains around that? Well, it's just like kids. There's a lot of different ways to be a parent, a lot of different ways to be a human, and Steph's a different way to be a superstar, and I absolutely love it. More NBA players, if you did a poll, respect Russell Westbrook than Steph Curry. Charles Barkley, himself a great player and a terrific broadcaster, went on the air after Kevin Durant went down. And I love Charles, but he said this.
The Warriors ain't got no chance of winning without Kevin Durant.
This series?
This series or any other series. He made them a dynasty. Let's don't sleep on that. People said, well, they won one. They did. They was terrific. And they won 7-2. They lost that series. But that was like 5 years ago. People act like that was 2 years ago. They did not become a juggernaut until KD got there. Everybody who knows basketball, he's the guy who made them a dynasty.
Okay, let's just say this. That wasn't a shot at the Warriors. It was a shot at Steph. Because if Steph got hurt, would Charles say that about the KD, Clay, Draymond Warriors? He wouldn't say that about that team. I don't think Charles even meant to do it. And I'm okay with Charles having big opinions and being wrong. I do both all the time. But we have more respect in this league for Harden, who keeps disappearing in big spots, and Westbrook. And I got to tell you something. It reminds me of Cam Newton. It's taken us a while to acknowledge, right? It's not that great. Because Cam Newton looks like what a star quarterback should look like. Big, rocket arm, handsome, perfect smile. He fills the TV screen up. Tom Brady's unathletic, kind of gangly. I see those pictures when he's vacationing in Costa Rica and he looks like a dentist. And Tom Brady's been to 8 Super Bowls, and still all I hear is, well, he's kind of a system quarterback. I mean, let's be honest, it's Belichick. No, Tom Brady's a great quarterback. Cam's not. But I guess maybe certain guys play and have the machismo and the alpha of what we think a star should look like. Do you realize in the history of the NBA, I'm not sure there's ever been another player ever in the history of the NBA, I'll say it again, the history of the NBA, that could have 0 points in the first half and 33 in the second. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. And one of the things I like, and I've always defended Steph on, is this. I like specialists. I'm not into your liberal arts degree. Are you an engineer? Are you an architect? Are you a doctor? What are you? Are you a school teacher? Be a specialist. Have you noticed what's left in the NBA right now? Kawhi Leonard's a specialist, the best two-way player. Giannis, best player within 5 feet of the rim in the NBA. Steph, best ball handler, best shooter in the NBA. KD, best player. By the way, Portland, second best backcourt in the NBA. All the guys that are just guys, those teams are done. Specialists. And by the way, let me add a third best to Steph Curry. Is it possible he's the best leader? I mean, after 0 points in the first half, didn't play the victim, didn't blame the refs, James Harden, didn't blame the system, didn't came out and scored 33 points. We've got to stop believing that everybody fits into one box, and I can be guilty of this. But ball handling, shooting, and leadership, Friday night, I can make an argument. The best player in the world at all three of those was on display, Steph Curry. That was why I love sports. Vegas said they had no chance to win. They won because of Steph Curry. Great stuff today. Absolutely packed. Calling right, calling wrong in about 40, 50 minutes, whatever it is. I can't read the clock today. I have a bad back injury today, so I am being neutralized by heavy doses of Aleve. heavy doses.
You got to cut back on the tennis.
I'm done with it. I'm tired of it.
You're just going to quit?
I don't know. I barely started. I'm tired of feeling tired. I'll tell you that.
Do you stretch beforehand?
Ah, stretching. God, you know, I'm tired of stretching more than tennis. Listen, I play tennis, I go home. Why do I have to stretch?
Well, I think your body is telling you why.
I am tired of getting good advice. I am really tired of that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, it's funny. I've said from the very beginning, Lakers hired Frank Vogel as their head coach yesterday. Not who I would have hired, but whatever. Lakers aren't doing a lot I would do. But it's interesting. I said Friday, there's a difference between concern and consumed. I'm concerned what I eat. I'm not consumed by it. My favorite thing to eat is a hamburger. I'm not going to wake up every morning and trap myself into only eating things, that are perfect on guidelines and regulations. And listen, at some point, I want to live. I like my hamburgers. It's the same thing with everything. I was concerned about Y2K. I didn't literally build a bunker in my backyard. I understand the concern with the Lakers about just giving the franchise to LeBron, because every place he leaves is a train wreck an hour later. Cleveland twice in Miami. I get that, but I think they've been consumed by it. I swear to God, after they hired Frank Vogel, I was sitting there thinking, are they trolling LeBron? I just want to hear me out on this. I think they're trolling LeBron, the Lakers are. They've become obsessed with not giving LeBron anything he wants. So who's one of the first people when LeBron came, they signed up? Lance Stephenson, who was his annoying nemesis. I mean, LeBron and Lance Stephenson don't work together at all. Lance can't shoot. LeBron's great with shooters. LeBron loves kind of like high IQ, get it veterans. And Lance is goofy, talented, but goofy. So they get him. Then Phil Jackson, according to a story, the Lakers relied heavily on hiring Frank Vogel because of Phil Jackson's recommendation. Well, didn't Phil Jackson call LeBron and his guys a posse? Then they hire Frank Vogel, who I swear to God called Miami floppers. And then, by the way, Rob Pelinka gets a job in the Laker front office. That's Kobe's agent. LeBron and Kobe were never tight. Magic, who LeBron loved, quits. And now they just elevate Pelinka, who again is Kobe's agent, who LeBron's never been tight with. And then, oh, by the way, the camper is Ty Lue, the one guy LeBron wanted. Yeah, they offered him an insulting 3-year contract. Are you in LeBron's camp or are you trying to aggravate him? Could you give him a solid here? Kobe's agent, Phil Jackson, Lance Stephenson, dissing Ty Lue. You do get he's your number one asset and your number one player. I mean, when Green Bay chose Aaron Rodgers over Brett Favre, did they basically go to Brett Favre's closest advisors for the next 7 years and make sure they hired people Brett liked over Aaron? No, the Packers at one point figured out we got to get a quarterback coach Aaron likes. We got to get, and eventually they moved off even a good head coach, Mike McCarthy, because it didn't work for Aaron Rodgers. And you got to make Aaron Rodgers comfortable, not uncomfortable. Like at some point, you got to get shooters for LeBron. That's what he's always worked well with. Now, basically, my guess is LeBron has to do the phone work, get on the phone and get Kyrie Irving here, because that would work. Anthony Davis, I don't think would work. Kyrie Irving and LeBron, pretty interesting. But, I mean, there's a gap between concerned and consumed. It's like you're trolling him. It's like you're dissing him. If you're going to hire Frank Vogel, just hire Jason Kidd. At least LeBron, you know, respects the player. They both have kind of the same record, no?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So here we go. We do it every Monday at this time. Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I said all year about Denver. Young teams that are talented, bring it down. Denver, the number two seed, could not win a second round series, even though they had the best NBA home record. They lost three times in the postseason at home. Don't get fooled by talented, hungry, young teams. They tend to win 30 games on effort. And this team, once you get to the playoffs, everybody is playing hard. They were unbeatable at home. Portland beat them twice in Denver. So, nice team, but we said they're too young, they're too green, they're too inexperienced to win multiple series in the playoffs. We got it right with Denver.
Where Colin was wrong.
Friday night, Vegas had it, Houston minus -8. Vegas gave the dynasty no shot. That is the guttiest, scrappiest, craziest road win in the NBA I have seen in years. I'm rarely left speechless. I was. Steph Curry had no points at half. KD didn't play, and Boogie didn't play. They had no bench, no size, and it was tied. Huh? Iggy had 5 threes. Sean Livingston played his best game of the year. You know, that's that the old cliche, the heart of a champion. I sat there at halftime, and I just said, I was texting buddies. I'm like, no Boogie, no KD, and Steph is scoreless, and it's tied? What's going on? What world? Maybe the earth is flat, like Kyrie Irving said. I was wrong on that one.
Where Colin was right.
But Philadelphia, the process is a bunch of hooey. Jimmy Butler was your only reliable player, and he ain't part of the process. You had to trade for him. And the GM that created the process doesn't work in the NBA anymore. He's a consultant in the NFL for a team that finished in third place in their own division last year. I got nothing against Sam Hinkie. But here's what I know. The two guys from the process, Embiid and Simmons, they don't work together. They just don't. And I think they're both really talented, but I'm not into the nickname thing. If you want to tank, just call it tanking. That's what you did. You tanked for 6 years and whiffed on about 5 draft picks. Even Joel Embiid after the game was done hearing about the process.
I don't know, game 7, losing a game that way, a lot of things go through your mind and it sucks.
Where would you say the process is right now? And you just played the most minutes you've ever played in regulation. Are you tired?
I don't give a damn about the process.
There you go. Either do I. I'm over it.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I had thought, and I said this 2 years ago, I used to think of Harden and Westbrook as kind of similar players, Harden the better shooter. And I said, you know, James is totally separated from Westbrook, but there are a lot of similarities. They dominate December. They dominate January. They get all the headlines. But late in seasons, they just don't feel the same. They don't feel as reliable. They fizzle out. I don't know. Is James Harden in great shape? He's obviously an NBA player. He's in good shape. But in Game 5, he just disappeared. And Chris Paul was the better guard in Game 6. So, you know, there's these similarities with Westbrook. I still like him more than Westbrook because it's a shooter's league. And I think he is a bizarrely, uniquely talented scorer. But let's be honest. I'm getting a lot of the same narratives here. You got to get out of the second round. I mean, it's once the referees didn't give you all the flipping and flopping and not. I don't want to hear that he had 35 points. When did he score the 35 points? Late in game 5, he disappeared.
Where Colin was right.
I said Steph Curry is the least respected great player of my lifetime. And I said that before Friday night. In fact, I said it Wednesday and Thursday. This is Steph's team. It's always been Steph's team. He is not underrated by people in the organization. He's underrated by players. He had 17 points with 4.5 to go and ended up with 33. I know he doesn't fit everybody's stereotype of what the man is and what the alpha dog is, but that guy is now 30-4. The Warriors with Steph are 30-4 when Steph plays and KD doesn't. Again, KD may be the better, quote, player, but Steph's a better pure three-point shooter. He's a better ball handler, and frankly, he's a better leader. Not that KD's a terrible leader, but Steph Curry, as I said before Game 6, is the most underrated great player of my life. Maybe on the outside, but you can't tell me Steve Kerr and Bob Meyer don't understand the value of Steph Curry.
Where Colin was wrong.
I'm going to take a big fat goose egg on the Boston Celtics. About 6 months wrong on that. I like the coach. I like the cast. I like the closer. And, I usually don't buy into some regular season drama. Players figure it out. I mean, LeBron's dramatic every January. Yeah, they figure it out. These guys didn't figure it out. Just didn't fit. Maybe it's Brad. Maybe it's Kyrie. I was just wrong for months on this. I kept saying, coach, cast, closer. I'm good. But it's not that they lost to Milwaukee. That series after game one wasn't that competitive. It really wasn't. It was a lot of Milwaukee, bigger, stronger, deeper, better bench. Big fat zero sandwich for me on that one.
Where Colin was right.
Said for years, small markets in sports always think the league is against them. And if they lose a game, it's because the league doesn't like us and the league is after us. And Gail Benson, bless her heart, the Saints owner, is still yapping about the Saints loss that everybody in the world is over and understood was just a bad call. But here she was at a commencement speech this weekend.
Had this happened in another city, it is likely there would have been riots in the streets. As bitterly disappointed as our fans were, our response was the opposite. Rather than riot, our protest turned into another cause for parties. Boycott bowls sprang up throughout the city on Super Bowl Sunday. And our fans' displeasure with the obviously terrible no call was expressed to the NFL by turning out at a historic rate, delivering the lowest Super Bowl rating in the country.
First of all, can I address the riot thing? Green Bay does not feel like a riot city to me.
I'm trying to think of what kind of city would riot over a call like that.
Nobody would. By the way, Los Angeles wouldn't have rioted.
No.
Most of the city didn't watch the game.
Pittsburgh wouldn't.
Nah, come on. Let's. It's time to move on. It was a bad call.
Maybe New England? I don't know. They've had so many wins. It's like, are they going to riot?
This is exactly, small markets wear me out. They think the world's against them. It was a bad call. By the way, you had a chance to stop the Rams after that and in overtime. You couldn't. That's on you.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was very cynical all year when LeBron's people kept telling me via texts, Colin, LeBron has handed over the reins to the Lakers. He has no control. And I tell Rich Paul, come on, Rich. You can't sell me that. Apparently, LeBron doesn't have any pull because Magic quit and didn't give him a phone call. That's what LeBron said, and I believe him. And Frank Vogel's the head coach. And they gave Heyman the three-year deal, and Frank Vogel was probably about the fourth, fifth choice. I always felt like, listen, LeBron didn't come out here and not have any say in it. But increasingly, it is absolutely definitively clear that Kurt Rambis and Phil Jackson have more power in that building than LeBron James. Kobe's agent has more power than LeBron James. I was cynical, and I was wrong.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, I have more wrongs than rights this week. That Raptor thing, that was day one. And DeJoy all year was... she just loves Canada. Maybe that's it. But
I mean, Canada's a very nice place.
It's very nice.
Very nice with very nice people.
I didn't buy into this show all year long. And I got to be honest, it's good for the city. Kawhi's absurd. I mean, let's be honest about Kawhi Leonard. 35 points average. There were times it felt like he was single-handedly beating Philadelphia, and I don't think I'm hyperventilating here. End of the game, it was just like, stop me. It had a very much an MJ feel to it.
Very much.
Stop me. And nobody could in Philadelphia. And I don't know the Raptors' chances against Milwaukee. That's a tough matchup for anybody. But Kawhi Leonard and Toronto's in one fell swoop, they deserve it. Give me the buzzer beater one more time. Do we have that? Give them love one more time.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
No!
I got to be honest. I know it's a weird comparison. We always talk LeBron and Michael. Kawhi's got, if you never saw Michael play live, Kawhi Leonard's got a lot of Michael Jordan where it's just like, I'm coming down. I'm a forward. I shouldn't be a point guard. Stop me.
And that was a terrible shot. It was falling out of bounds on one leg. It was an impossible shot.
Yeah, between the hand size, his improvisation in the air, his ability to play both ways, his ability to hit shots clutch, his stone-cold sort of personality. I know nobody's ever going to compare Kawhi to MJ, but they're built the same. They are wiry, strong, 6'6.5 guys, 6'7 guy for Kawhi. That was great.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, all year long, Joy Taylor told me, keep your eye on Toronto, keep your eye on Toronto. And I said, I don't trust them. I've been burned by Toronto before. Well, that's a big bowl of wrong for me. Yesterday, they got their way past an incredibly talented team in Philadelphia. And we showed you the buzzer beater multiple times. I want to bring on, from Wichita State in Rockford, Illinois, often overlooked, but a two-time Missouri Valley Conference player. He's a perfect fit with the Raptors. Fred VanVleet is joining us now. Fred, thanks for coming on the show. I got to ask you, we're going to show the game-winning shot again. We're going to spot shadow you. You had the perfect seat for it. Go back to high school. Have you ever been in a buzzer beater win before?
Yeah, a bunch. You know, you'd be surprised how many different crazy endings you get in AAU and high school basketball, stuff like that. But nothing of this magnitude. You know, game seven, Kawhi, superstar, you know, everything's on the line. But to have that kind of circus bounce go in is definitely at the top of the list that I've seen.
You know, Kawhi's pretty quiet guy. Hard for us in the media to get our arms around him. Is he more talkative? Is he different locker room, on the team playing, at practice?
Yeah, he's just regular. He's a regular dude, man. He doesn't like to talk to you guys, and, you know, that's understandable. But with us, he's pretty normal, and he's definitely on the quieter side, but, you know, he's still a normal dude to us.
You know, Fred, there's this narrative out there that, you know, everybody knows he's a free agent. Is that a weird situation? Do you talk to him about it? You'd obviously love him to stay. The city loves him. The team loves him. How do you kind of reconcile all that? Is it something you guys talked about this year that he could leave?
Yeah, we talk about it. I mean, we're human. We talk about all this stuff, and we laugh and joke about it. And, you know, that's his business. At the end of the day, we just want his best for this year. And hopefully, you know, we reach our chances of winning a title, and then he can do whatever he wants after that. So that's really none of our business, and we'd love to have him, and we'd love to keep him, and he knows that. And I think he's having a great time here in Toronto, but, you know, we're just so focused in on this series and these playoffs. And then, you know, when the summertime comes, that's when Kawhi needs to do what's best for him.
People talk about the relationship between the Raptors and the city of Toronto feels different than other cities. Now, you've only played for the Raptors last 3 years, but if you could, explain what it feels like to you. Now, you were in a smaller town at Wichita State, similarly, yeah, where the team was the town.
Yes.
Does it feel a little bit like that, Fred?
Yeah, it's the same. Obviously, we have the Leafs here, and it's probably still a hockey town, per se, just because that's Canada's sport. But just to have the entire country behind you, have the city of Toronto behind you, where people kind of identify with the team and feel like we're overlooked, and the underdog role and all of those things put together. And this time is a special time in the city. I mean, especially after that shot yesterday, just, you know, the city's, you know, on a pretty good buzz right now, and we're riding this momentum and trying to bring a championship home.
You know, Fred, Damian Lillard's from Weber State. Steph Curry's from Davidson. Klay Thompson, Washington State. You're from Wichita State. It's a Kawhi, San Diego State, I think. It's amazing how many guys in this league at the end of the season are from non-traditional, you know, Duke, Kansas powers. Could I say this, Fred, that there's a certain chip on the shoulder when you do get overlooked, when nobody watched you in college, I mean, or is it just a crazy coincidence? The NBA now is being run by a lot of guys we didn't watch in college a ton.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence. I just think the number one thing out of that is, you know, you can write as million storylines that you want, but if you can play, you can play. And you can't hide forever, and talent's not going to be overlooked forever. And the guys who can't play, who get the hype, they can't hide forever either. So at the end of the day, the cream will always rise to the top, and you're seeing that with guys who didn't go to the biggest schools in the world. There's so many schools that they're not going to get it right all the time, and it's just your job as an individual to keep working and go to a school that suits you best and that fits you best, and worry about the rest later. But the NBA doesn't really have favoritism. If you can play, you know, you'll be all right.
I was saying with Kawhi Leonard, it's interesting. I'm not saying he's MJ, but from his body, his intensity, his defense, his mid-range jumper, the ability with his hand size to palm it and improvise in the air, there is I see a little MJ. Yeah. I see a little bit Fred of MJ.
Yeah.
Am I the only person? Have you ever seen a little bit of that too?
Yeah, we're seeing it. It's there. I don't think you can deny that. I think that, you know, Michael Jordan's imprint on the game is in a lot of guys' game, and you definitely see that in Kawhi, and I'm sure he studies some of that along with Kobe and some of those guys. You see that framework there and just how dominating he is with his physicality and the steals and just the footwork. So he's you know, establishing himself in his own right, you know, in the history books as one of the best players in the world, and I'm sure he's picked a little bit from each of those guys' games.
Finally, I don't know if you've heard of Giannis. He's a handful. Milwaukee is deep. They're big. They're long. They're well coached. I know you guys had some struggles this year. What do you make of that series?
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier from here. I think we've been pretty well tested in these playoffs. Orlando gave us a good shot, although it was 4-1, and obviously Philly taking us to 7. So we've been tested, and we've had to show a lot of out of our toolbox and different ways to win. So I think we'll be pretty well prepared, and it's going to be a hell of a series. And you know, the best team is going to come out of it. So we're just trying to lock in these next couple of days and come up with a game plan and go out there. And you know, whoever plays the best is going to win. Sounds stupid, but sometimes it's just that simple.
Is it mandatory that you have to listen to Drake if you're a Raptor? What if he wasn't your favorite guy?
No, that's not a thing.
Fred, good luck to you and the Raptors, my man. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
There we go. Fred Van Fleet is part of the Raptors, which, listen, man, I didn't buy them all year. I've been burned by them. And Joy over here is just a big fan of dinosaurs.
I am a big fan of dinosaurs. Stegosaurus is my favorite. And then the Raptors, coincidentally. But they're just, everyone just forgot who Kawhi is. And it's understandable because he was gone for a year.
And he doesn't talk.
With an intense injury. He doesn't talk. It seems like he was difficult because who can't work with the Spurs and Greg Popovich and who wouldn't want a system like that? Kawhi's just his own guy, but everyone forgot how great Kawhi is.
You know what I like about Kawhi, too? He shoots mid-range jumpers. I'm not anti-analytics. But analytics weren't created to find Barry Bonds. They were created over the course of 162 games. You go with all analytics are is averages. But when you get down to a series and everybody's evenly rested and it's the best coaches, the best defense, the best schemes, the best players, the best closers, the best, I got nothing against analytics. I need guys that can get buckets.
Well, we're showing LeBron's tweet. LeBron said it best, because analytics really should only be used to give you an advantage, to help you prepare for your opponent. You can't play the game based off of analytics. You see what happens when you do that.
One of the guys on the staff this morning had a great line about this, and I got to give Sammy had this. He said, analytics will qualify you for the playoffs. Stars will advance you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.